Well, I'm so glad you're here. Are you ready to receive from the Lord this morning through the Word? All right. So we've been talking about the antidote. We've been going through this series called The Antidote. And how ironic, right? I like how God does that. He knows what we need when we need it. Amen? So we've been talking about how Jesus is the antidote. He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that is able to bring us health, healing, restoration, salvation. All of the things that we need are found in Jesus. Amen? But this last week, we began referring to intentionality and how God, our intentionality should be placed and focused on God. But I want to extend that. I've titled this message, Intentionality 2.0. So we're going to look at the next piece of this, and that is, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. It says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So the second piece of intentionality is that you can only help others. You can only help others to the extent that you have been changed. See, we have received the antidote in our life, and we have to rightly apply the antidote in our life, but we are also called to extend the antidote to others. And you can only help others to the extent that you have been changed. I want you to think for a minute. Someone who's out of shape, do you go to that person for health advice? Do you go to that person for how to become physically fit? They may know the answer, but likelihood of you trusting them with the right answer is less than if there is someone who is physically fit, who is disciplined in that way, and you take one look at them and you say, "I'm going to go and talk to that person, right? I want to talk to that person for advice because I want to look like that person looks, right? I see that that person has had success, and therefore I'm seeking that person out to learn what they did and be able to receive that same success in my life." People won't listen if we cannot demonstrate, if our life cannot demonstrate the message that we are trying to communicate. The concept is true through every aspect of life. If we want to change the world, lift your hand, say, "If I want to change the world, I have to change me." If you want to change the world, you have to change yourself. Intentionality toward helping others must come by disciplining, we don't like that word, disciplining and bettering ourselves. We trust a doctor for medical advice because she has studied and disciplined herself in the practice of medicine. We trust a lawyer to represent us legally because they have disciplined themselves to become a lawyer. Every aspect of our life, whether it's plumbers, electricians, carpenters, financial advisors, professional athletics, engineers, musicians, professional singers, CEOs, politicians, psychologists, pastors, they all have one thing in common. They have developed habits or disciplines that have helped them to master their craft. Each of these and others not mentioned now have a platform, say platform, and a greater impact because their lives have become influential. Do you want to be a person of influence? How many of you want to be a person of influence? How many of you want to be able to influence others? There's a few of you. My goodness, that should be everybody. We should all want to be a person of influence. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5 says, "And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. This is really simple to understand, and that is that if I want to help others, I need to work on me. If I want to be a better influence to the world around me, I need to focus on myself and my relationship. It's not about how I can go and reach the world and preach the gospel to everybody. That's great. But how do we preach? Through our way of life, through our way of living, right? It says you are living epistles. You are living epistles. And so our life must reflect the words that we speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Wow. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on, say press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Each of us has raw talent, but undeveloped, their potential is never realized. Each of us has raw talent, but undeveloped, their potential is never realized. I wanted to get a picture of a diamond in the rough. How many of you have ever seen a diamond in the rough? We got a couple of jewelers in the house too, and we have people that like jewelry. A diamond in the rough doesn't look very nice. You know, if it's encased in the rock formation that's around it, it looks like a big black lump of coal, right? It just looks like nothing that's useful. But encased within that is this beautiful rock that when it's shaped and it's cut and it's polished, it is something that is of great value. Gold. Gold is not something that you can just use. It has to go through a process. It has to be broken from the rock. It has to go through a process of heating and cooling, heating and cooling, heating and cooling to remove the dross. And every time it goes through that process, it becomes more and more and more valuable. Am I right? So it is with us. We have many talents, many giftings, all of the raw material. But if it's not developed, the potential is never realized. The reality is that the majority of us hasn't even begun to scratch. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of all that God has created us to be. We haven't begun to scratch the surface of all that God has created us to be. We oftentimes get distracted or hung up by what others have that we don't. We get distracted or discouraged by our weakness or our failures. We get paralyzed by fear of failure. Or we simply lack the motivation or the drive to push ourselves beyond our comfort zone. Am I talking to anybody in here today? When we settle, listen to this. When we settle, we basically tell God that we are fine and we don't want what He has given. We would rather live in mediocrity and complacency than to endure the pain, the discipline, and the challenge that it requires to develop, perfect, and master the gifts and the talents that He has placed within us. Are y'all with me? Okay. What we fail to realize is that we not only affect ourselves. This is extremely important. We not only affect ourselves, But we fail countless others who we were destined to impact by our example. We were given gifts and talents not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Let's read Matthew chapter 25. This is a long passage, verse 14 through 29. Let's read this together. You don't have to say it out loud, but let's follow along, please. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from the trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops and that you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gather crops I don't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." This speaks directly to stewardship. This speaks directly to being good stewards of what God has placed within us. You and I have been given a gift of life that is not meant to be just for us. It is not meant to be just for us to be able to enrich ourselves. It is meant to be something of significance that will touch people all around. But if you and I do not put ourselves through the process of perfecting those things that God has placed within us, of developing those things that God has placed within us, if we don't take those things and put them to use, to good use, we will eventually find ourselves in a position where our life will have gone by and we will have nothing to account for it. It's really interesting here. Two concepts. One is that the one who took and put and multiplied what had been given to him and returned it to his master says, "You have been faithful in this, so I'm going to give you more." You want to understand the principle that God has placed to how to advance in life. You want to understand how to get further along in life and to have more in your life. This is the key right here. Successful people will tell you. They work on themselves. They read a lot. They study a lot. They work on bettering themselves because the more that they the better that they are, the more influence they have, the more impact that they have on the people around them, and people will seek them out. Another interesting thing here is it says, at the very least, you could have deposited in the bank and let it collect interest. You know, some of us, we don't even want to go and place ourselves under someone else's responsibility. We don't even want to allow someone else to work on us. Some of us don't have the motivation to do it ourselves, but some of us just reject when other people are trying to help us along, give us advice. We don't want people to give us correction. And that's like depositing that money in the bank. Maybe I can't pull it out of myself, but maybe somebody else could pull it out of me, you know? That's like hiring that personal trainer. I'm talking to myself right now. Lord Jesus. Okay, we're going to get off that subject. How many of you know that when you're preaching in the house, it starts with you, right? Okay. So Jesus is communicating a principle here that is so foundational and yet profound. Each of us is given resources, raw talents, and unique giftings, but it is up to us to develop our talents, learn our giftings, and perfect our craft so that we can multiply the resources that we have been entrusted, that have been entrusted to us. Intentionality is the key to your life becoming the antidote for others. God desires to use you to be the church to the world around you. He has gifted and equipped you with unique qualities and abilities that are meant to be a benefit to others. You were created and uniquely designed to be the antidote to others. But left undeveloped, your life will never achieve the full potential for which it was created. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, we're going to read this again. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There are tens, hundreds, even thousands of people that are counting on you. They're counting on you. They desperately need the antidote that your life was designed to be. Are you willing to allow intentionality to be applied to every aspect of your life? Are you willing to apply purpose to every aspect of your life? Are you ready to begin to live life with purpose and on purpose? Philippians chapter 3:12, we'll read it again. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. When I think about my life, I can remember as a child, my mother told me that when she was pregnant with me, that there was a dream that she had, and she saw this young man, and he was a child, but he was very strong, very muscular, very fit. And the Lord said to her, "You're not seeing his physical strength, you're seeing his spiritual strength. The child within you is called to do mighty things for me." And God gave her my name, Joshua David. She did not tell my dad. And my dad came to her about a week or two later and said, I don't know why, but I feel like we're going to have a boy, and I feel like God's told us that his name is supposed to be Joshua David. That statement that she gave me was something that carried me through, because it told me that I had been born with a purpose. I had been born on purpose. There was a reason for my existence. But that didn't mean that it was easy. There were a lot of disappointments along the way. I was always very competitive. I was always a child that was a go-getter. I wanted to be the very first. And if I couldn't be first, if I failed to be first at the top of my class, and as far as grades is concerned, if I was not able to do my best in everything, and I failed to reach 100%, right? Not just an A plus, 100%. If I just missed one, I would just feel like I had completely failed. And I would just be crushed, because I was a person that would pour my heart and soul into everything that I did. I lived with passion, and I do to this day. But I came to a place where I had to understand that I had to go through this process of pain and suffering, and I could not just walk away. I had to get back up, and I had to keep going, and I had to keep learning, and I had to keep pushing myself to do well. As a young man, and receiving the call of God and answering the call and going into full-time ministry and being a youth pastor and being a worship leader and serving in the ministry and reaching out and going to the mission field and answering the call and ministering in the inner cities and helping the drug addicts and doing all of the different things that the Lord allowed me to do in my life. I did all of those things, and yet there were many times that I didn't receive any recognition. There were many times that I was either falsely accused or pushed off to the side and forgotten. I was like that child, David, you know, on the backside of the pasture taking care of the sheep, and so I was just there working, but I was diligently serving the Lord. I was faithfully serving, and many times my heart was broken, and I was in a place of pain, and yet I had to find a way to reach down and say, God, you are faithful, and I will not abandon you. I will hold true to what you have promised me, that message that you gave my mother all that time ago when I was in her womb. That is a truth that I have to carry with me, and I have to believe that you have created me with purpose, and you have created me on purpose. And so I will continue this process. I remember there was a moment where I stepped away from everything. I was in a season where I needed healing. I was at a gas station and I was pumping gas, and for some reason, the Lord had Sanford pull up at the pump beside me. And he starts pumping gas. And he comes over, and you know how he is. He has that famous saying, "Hello there." And it's almost like as if it reaches down in your soul and pulls everything out in just those two words. He prayed with me. Gave me a smile, put his arm around me, and told me, "God hasn't given up on you. He's going to see you through." Those words were gold in that moment. Gold in that moment of crisis. I remember going home and closing the door, and no one was home. I was by myself. And I just began to cry out to God and shout to the ceiling. I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand why I'm going through the things I'm going through. I don't understand why I'm going through the struggle. You said, and look where I am, right? And I haven't gotten there yet. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit come in and just put their hand on me and say, "Peace. Peace be still." And my prayer began to change. And it began to be, "Lord, my life is yours. It doesn't matter if I have to spend the rest of my days." At that time, I was working, believe it or not, for a company digging ditches. "It doesn't matter if I have to spend the rest of my days digging ditches. If this is all you want from me, if this is all the value that my life has, I will dig those ditches as if it was for you. And with every drop of sweat, I will praise you. I will lift your name up. I will choose to worship you." Within just a short period of time, doors began to open. God began to elevate. God began to move. I began to serve where I was being planted, where I was being sent, whatever the Lord opened for me, I began to just step into it and move and minister. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call. And it was from previous pastor's wife, said, "We are in a place of crisis, and we need somebody to come in and lead worship for us. Would you step in?" I said, "Sure." I came, and I was here one Sunday, and as I was driving out of the parking lot, I said, "God, I don't think this is the right place. I don't think this is it. There's a lot that's happening here, and it does not feel good. It does not look good." And he said, "You said your life was mine, right?" I said, "Yes." He said, "This is where I want you." I said, "Yes, sir." Fast forward. 3 years later, I stand before you as the senior pastor of this church. Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. Because he has allowed for us to be the antidote to people around us. If we will not negate the process of him going and cutting the rough edges off, breaking those stones away from us, passing us through that fire to cleanse out the dross. And it's not to say that I have arrived. I don't want you to even begin to think that, because we've just begun. There is so much that God has in store for us, so many things that God desires for us to do and for us to accomplish. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. But we have to understand that if we will commit to the process, God in his timing will elevate us and use us, because he takes our lives, and if we discipline and we take those raw talents and giftings and we continue to allow him to cultivate that and to work through that, he can take us and he will elevate us and allow us to be a greater influence to the world around us. What does intentionality look like? It starts with believing that you are important. You must believe that your life has purpose. You must believe that you have value and that others need you. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand." You will know that you believe that you have purpose when you start living on purpose. You will know that you believe that you have purpose when you start living on purpose. The way you live says more about what you believe about yourself than anything you could ever say. If you really believe that you are here because you are vital to God and to the people around you, you will live with intentionality. Listen to me. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. You have been created with purpose, and you have been created on purpose, and you have been created for a purpose. You matter. You matter. Your life is not a coincidence. You are not a mistake. You are here right now at Trinity Church for a reason. You were created with intentionality. Think about that. When God breathed you into existence and formed you in your mother's womb, he foresaw every moment of your life. He saw every person that you would touch and all who would connect with you. He saw the pain, the suffering, the tears, the frustration, the anger, the joy, the laughter, the smiles, the relationships, the friendships. He carefully placed within you all that you would need to overcome every challenge and every heartbreak. He placed within you gifts and talents, abilities that others needed. He knew that you would be the antidote that others needed. And he placed you precisely in the position where your life would have the greatest impact. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 30. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. Listen, what that means, that scripture means this. God made a way for every single person to become his child. And that this work was done and completed through Jesus Christ. When God sent Jesus to earth, he foresaw, it says who he foreknew, he predestined. He foreknew, he foresaw, he was able to know ahead of time that Jesus would be the answer, that Jesus would be the one that would be able to justify us, to glorify us, that the sacrifice on the cross would forever settle everything. He had foreknowledge that you and I would be able to be his sons and daughters when Jesus gave his life on the cross. That's what that scripture is saying. And it says because Jesus did that, there was also an intent, an intentionality within him. He predestined. That means he set it in action. He put everything in place so that you and I could receive Jesus. What does the Bible say? My will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We all have been given an opportunity and every resource for success. But we're not robots. We are not robots. We're not simply following a predetermined path. God has given us a free will. God created us with intentionality. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as my prophet to the nations. He created us with intentionality. But it is up to us to choose whether we will live with intentionality. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and I'm getting close to closing. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He will direct our path. He directs it. So in conclusion, intentionality is accepting God as the antidote for your life and believing that you were created to carry the antidote to others. Intentionality is believing that you matter. It is becoming the best version of yourself by living with purpose and living on purpose. Don't be like the one who buried their talent in the ground. Don't choose to just exist. Don't waste the precious gift of your life away. Make every second count. Make every thought count. Every word, every action, every relationship, every encounter with others. Make it count. Don't take anything for granted. Don't assume that anything is a coincidence. Always look and listen for God's purpose in every moment of every day. Pray always. You matter. Your life matters. You are the antidote to dozens of people around you every day. You are the only Jesus that some will ever see. Continue to develop the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has placed within you. This is how your influence grows and your impact increases. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. You don't have to try to figure out your ministry. God has for you or where or how you are supposed to serve. Just serve. Honor him with your life. The way you honor God is through intentionality. Give your all every time. Do your best every time. Strive to do your best in everything that you do. Learn more. Study more. Apply yourself more. Be the best you can be in every conversation, in every action, in every aspect of your life. That is intentionality, and that is how we honor God. Three final scriptures, and then I'm closing it, and it's going to be a fast close. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent, say diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Say all your heart. As working for the Lord. Finally, I want to read this verse. Daniel 1:18-20. It says, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Do you think that they found a way to take what God had given them and to develop it to their fullest extent? And what did God do as a result? Even in captivity, they were elevated to the top. They were elevated to the highest place. What was the influence that Daniel had? What was the influence that he had? He influenced kings. He was the voice of God to nations because he chose to live life with intentionality. He chose to do everything wholeheartedly and as unto the Lord. So in closing, this is what I have to share with you. It doesn't matter if you're young or old or somewhere in between. If there is still breath in your lungs, you're still alive. You're here for a reason. You have purpose. You have significance. You matter. You were created with intentionality. And there is a world around you that needs the best you. How is Jesus being reflected through you? In what area of your life do you need to apply intentionality? Will you commit today to live with purpose? Will you choose to live with intentionality? I want us to pray together. If you're here today and you recognize that there is an area in your life, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads? you recognize that there is an area in your life that you are not living with intentionality, that you are not applying intentionality, that you have not given purpose to that, I want to pray with you. So would you just slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up. I have my hand up all across this room. There are those that are saying, yes, I recognize that there is something in my life that needs to be surrendered to the authority of God. Let's pray together. Lord, right now, all across this room, I ask that you would increase our faith. Help us to believe that we were created with purpose. Help us to believe that we were created on purpose. And help us to believe that we were created for a purpose. May it be so, Lord, that we would not allow ourselves to just go through life and ignore the gift that you have given to us. Hide the talents, the giftings, the resources that you have placed within us. Help us to utilize those to touch the people around us, to bless the people around us. Lord, you called us to be the antidote to so many. Just like that day that you sent Sanford to a gas station to speak your words to my life. And he was an antidote in a time when I just really needed to hear you. Help us to believe that you can use us that way. Help us to believe that we can be Jesus to the world around us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now in this moment. I'm not going to drag this out. I just want to say a quick prayer for you. If you are here and you say, I recognize that I need Jesus in my life. I've never given my life to Jesus, and I know that I need to give my life to him. That is the first step to allowing yourself to begin to live with intentionality. Jesus in us is the antidote. And as we surrender to him, as we allow him to work in and through us, he uses us. He takes the raw talents within us and he perfects them so that they can touch the people around us. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you would say, I want to put my life in the Master's hand and allow him to make my life matter, to use me to impact and touch the world around me. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see that hand. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, say this with me. Dear Jesus, I recognize that I need you. I want my life to matter. So I place my life in your hands. I believe that you died and that you rose again and that you would forgive me of my sins. You are my Savior. Come into my heart, restore me, and change me. Thank you that you accept me as your child. From this day forward, I choose to yield to you and allow you to change my life so that I can be the antidote to the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're thankful that you were here, would you give the Lord a praise offering? So we are trying to be very intentional with the way that we do things here. So I'm going to ask that the ushers would stand at the back. If you brought your tithe or offering today, you're welcome to drop it in the offering boxes, or they will be holding the offering plates there so that you don't have to touch the offering plates as it goes by. They will hold it, and you can place your offering there. We so appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your giving. This is how the gospel is spread throughout the world, and we are able to continue to do the work of the Lord right here. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to continue to pray and proclaim that the Lord would heal our land. And don't live in fear. Carry his peace with you wherever you go, and be the antidote. Be the antidote. If you need prayer today, be sure to do that before you leave. There will be those who are here at the prayer wall that will come into agreement with you. If you're new here, if this is your first time, please be sure to stop by our Welcome Center. We would love to meet with you. God bless you. Would you stand? Lord, I pray for your peace that passes all understanding to be over us. We just declare, oh God, that you would go with us and that you would cover us and you'd protect us, that you would allow your face to shine upon us, that you would give us your peace. May we be the antidote everywhere we go and with everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. See you back here.